Yep. The book told me, but I can read too, I guess. There we go. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in my Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still Jesus loves me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Amen. 4-2-3. Why wasn't it 2-3-4? 4-2-3. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy thine. On the cross you died for me. I will try to live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen. That was great. I was looking for that song. I wanted to sing that, so thank you, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
David?
Yes, sir.
Let's find out what the tune of that right across the page is. That saved. Do we know that?
Pastor wants to experiment tonight. Huh? I don't know. We can try it.
It's a little difficult for me, so what I
okay.
I might end up just playing with one hand.
Okay.
Gotta start it off and see if I've ever sung this, because we've got a save song.
Yeah, yes, sir. This one. I think we know this, don't we? Yeah, we know this. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arm. I know he'll guide me all the way. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. When poor and needy and all alone, in love he said to me, come unto me, and I'll lead you home to live with me eternally. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Amen. Thank you, Nancy.
I don't think Nancy played all those little black notes.
I can do it in home, but I have been practicing because you asked one other time. And I said
I was listening.
But when I get
3-3-4 We'll sing it through twice. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. from the door, none from heartache. We all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in his family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. Amen. One more and we'll have our offering. Anyone have one sent? Pardon me? 382. 382. Amen. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendeth me breath, and save when death do lies cold on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on Yes.
Hear the preaching of your word and the singing of your hymns. Again, Heavenly Father, may you bless this tithe and this offering, that it may do the work, Lord, of reaching lost souls for you and edifying your church. We give you all praise and all the honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. I like that. All right, take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Leviticus. The 9th chapter. Leviticus chapter 9. Beginning in verse 1, and it came to pass on the 8th day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. Also, a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation. And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do. And the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. Now, I'm going to preach tonight for a little while on new things. New things, because most of us like new things, don't we? Like I said in my preview of this, we like new shoes, new clothes, a new car every once in a while. New. Things that have never been used before. You know how a new car smells? A new car.
Some people collect antiques. I've got a daughter up here in Riverside, Paula. Something bit her, I don't know what it was. But every spare moment that girl gets, she's off to these estate sales. They have a lot of them up there in Riverside, apparently, and she knows where every one of them is. She goes to the estate sales. Came in the other day. Now, her house is nearly as crowded as mine, but she saw a bedroom suit. It was an old one, but she saw that and she liked it. So she bought it. Now, she has a fairly new one in her bedroom already. And this is much older than the other one, but there was something about that antique thing that appealed to her, and she just couldn't sleep without it. So she bought it. Every time I asked her, I said, "Do you have your new bedroom suite up?" "No, not yet, but I'm working on it." You know, she takes after somebody in our house, I don't know what. But anyway, she likes things that grandma used to have, you know, old-timey stuff. But they're new to her. But when you begin to read in the Bible, I was shocked and amazed at all of the new stuff that I found in there. I mean, it's like going into Costco. They've got a lot of stuff, and it's all new in the Bible. Now, this all started when I was reading over in Leviticus chapter 9 here about the new way that God's people began to worship him. It's like the starting of a new religion. And I got to thinking about this, going all the way back to the beginning. We've got Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The sacrifice that was made there was made by the Lord. He's the one that killed the lamb that gave them their clothing, you know. After they got rid of their fig leaf clothing. And so God had to shed the first blood, you know, to get the skins from the animals to make their clothing with. Oh, and while they were at it, whoever told Cain and Abel how to worship the Lord? I couldn't find that in there anywhere, but I did find where they worshiped God. And that's the time when Cain went out in the field and brought Jesus some ears of corn and black-eyed peas and watermelons. Got to be a watermelon in there. And all of these good things. Now, if I'd been God, I'd have been happy with those. But Abel comes along, and he brings a live sacrifice, like a lamb. And he offers that as a sacrifice to God. And the Bible says God didn't tell them what to bring. He didn't even say bring anything, but they did. This was a voluntary offering that both of those guys made, but God showed favoritism. He liked the offering that Abel brought better than he did the one that Cain brought. And later on, those two boys got into an argument over that. and one of them killed the other. I mean, it was a serious thing with them. And like I say, I don't know in there where God told them to bring it or what to bring, how much or how few. We don't know. And then I suppose they kept on bringing offerings and things like that because it just went on and on. But nowhere did it say that God said, bring certain things as an offering to me when you worship me. He didn't give them any formula for worship. And so they went along, and I guess an awful lot of them didn't worship, didn't bring anything, because the Bible tells us how mean and ornery they got, and what anybody doing good, everybody is doing bad. And God said, I'm going to destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth. Well, Noah built the ark, flood came, drowned everybody except the eight that were on the ark, and the animals, of course. And when the water went down, Noah went out and built an altar and offered sacrifices on it. Some of the animals that he had in there, you know, were for sacrifice. We're told that. And the unclean, he just turned them loose and let them go. But he kept the clean ones and offered them as sacrifices. So the first thing you know, the unclean, there's more of them than there are the clean ones. Rattlesnakes are biting you, you know, and elephants are stepping on your toes and all things like that, see. These were the unclean ones. They're killing off all of the clean animals. And then they coast along a while, doing what they wanted to do, the way they wanted to do it. And they get down to Babylon. They start building a tower. They're offering offerings. God didn't like what they were doing, so he confused their languages, and they got all messed up again. And finally, you'll remember God got Abraham out of Ur of Chaldea and brought him into the promised land and says, Abe, I'm going to give you all the land that you see. I want you to walk up and down it. Everywhere you plant your foot, I'm going to give you that land. Time went by. They lived in that land like strangers. Never owned a foot of it. And finally, you remember Joseph. And you remember Jacob. And they're the ones that went down to Egypt. And they stayed in the land of Egypt for a long time and became a great nation, a great people. They became God's picked out people. They were his chosen people. And finally he sent Moses down there to deliver them out. And they did. They came to Mount Sinai. Now here's where it starts. God called Moses up on top of Mount Sinai. 40 days he's up there. And during that 40 days, God tells him how to do it. He said, we're going to start a new religion. And so that's what they did. And when Moses came down from the mountain, he came down with the blueprints for a tabernacle. They built the tabernacle. And everything about it was significant to the worship of God. They, even the gate that went into the courtyard and the altar and the various sacrifices, burnt offerings, sin offerings, peace offerings, etc., etc. And they had the laver, brazen laver, where they washed themselves. And God set up a priesthood to lead them in their worship. They would offer sacrifices and shed blood and sprinkle the blood, and they'd put loaves of bread on the table of showbread, and they would light the lights inside the holy place there and keep oil in the lamps, and they had an altar that they burned incense on. And then God had his place in there, where the high priest would come in once a year with the blood of the atonement. That blood would be sprinkled, and atonement would be made by the high priest for the sins of Israel once every year. So now Israel is a nation, and they have a way of worship. It started here in Leviticus chapter 9. And God's people worshiped him after they were delivered from by Moses from Egypt's bondage in 461 B.C. They'd never been given a set way to worship God before then. They didn't worship like we do. They didn't have a song leader that would get up and lead them in a song and pray a prayer and take an offering and preach, say amen and go home. That's kind of the way that we do. Those people back in Moses' day, they'd be lost if they came into our church. They wouldn't know when to stand, when to sit, when to pray, when to sing. Because things have changed since then, haven't they? Well, it went along that way for a long time. That new formula, new pattern of worship through sacrifices, offerings, the shedding of blood, all of that accompanied, of course, by prayer and by praise. They did some singing and they did some praying. This chapter goes on to describe how Aaron, who was Moses' brother-in-law, a brother and Israel's high priest. That's the way it was. I knew his kin. They assembled all the people together and they offered their offerings and their sacrifice and this. And then Aaron would bless the people, and then the glory of the Lord would appear unto them. And the people who were there would see the actual fire of God's glory as it came down from the Lord and consumed the sacrifices that they had offered. And when that happened, the people all got excited and they shouted and they fell on their faces. It was a new and exciting time when God gave the pattern for their worship. And you carry this theme all the way through the Bible, and you'll wind up way off out here in eternity somewhere doing something that's completely different and foreign from this. There was another generation that arose in the days of Solomon, because Solomon was the king who succeeded his father David and built the temple at Jerusalem. It followed substantially the pattern of the tabernacle, and they still offered the same way the sin offering and the peace offering and all of the different offerings there. And when they did that, the presence of God would come down among them in such a strong way that the priests, all they could do is just stand over here at a corner. God says, get out of my way. And they did. And the presence of God was so great, can you imagine, that the priests couldn't even get in the temple to worship God. Wow. God was there in a mighty way, wasn't he, with his people. Now, that was back in 975 when the temple in Jerusalem was dedicated. That's recorded over in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. If you want to read that, make a note of it and read it at your leisure. And all they could do as they worshiped God was to stand back out of his way and let God do his thing. They saw that invisible, that supernatural power of God. Well, that went on for 250 years. And come on down to about 724 B.C. in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. In the days of King Hezekiah, we've got it happening all over again. God saw some changes he wanted to make, so he made them. And the people changed this and changed this. It was basically the same with their sacrifices and offerings. And they continued on like they had in that spiritual beginning. Now, throughout the Bible, we see God at work. And he's always creating new things. He doesn't get in a rut. He comes along and he formulates a new and a better covenant for his people. Covenant is God's promise. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and then he does it. And then he'll come along and he'll say, all right, guys, I'm going to change. We're going to do it this way. We're going to do it that way. And that's the way that he did it, that he did. He was always creating new things. So he got a new covenant. And this new covenant was based on salvation by grace through faith in the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world, in contrast to the old way under the law, which says, this do and thou shalt live. No longer is it do and live, it is now live and do. He switched it around. He made it easier for us. He made it easier for us. I would have hated to have lived back in under the law of Israel. I like to read what Paul says about it, particularly in the book of Romans. he tells us about that. And they had a hard time doing all of the things that God wanted them to do there. They were always messing up. And finally, God came to a conclusion. He says, well, we're going to have to do it a different way. And so he did. He said, it's no longer by law, it's going to be by grace. Now, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6 says, this is where Jesus gets into it. Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Think God does never change? Why, he goes along here and he says, you know, I think we could do this better. I think it would be better if we did it this way. And so God makes changes. And when God makes changes, it becomes new, doesn't it? Now, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20 tells us that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, he created a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us. See, he's still changing. He's still changing. And he's bringing in through Jesus this new and living way. And this new and living way that God has brings us directly into the presence of Almighty God. Think about that. Moses up on Mount Sinai, 40 days and nights. God, let me see you. Nope. No can do. You can't see me. But the people kept on saying, we want to see God. We want to see God. And then what happens? God said, all right, I'll let you see him. And John tells us about it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw him. Anybody that saw Jesus saw God. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So we see Jesus. Now, we have a new knowledge in ourselves that we have laid up in heaven, a better and enduring sacrifice. Jeremiah, over in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, tells us about God. His compassions fail not, and the mercies of God are new every morning. Now, you want to sleep in the morning, you just go ahead and sleep in. But by the time you wake up, the morning dew has already melted away. Remember the manna? You had to get up early if you're going to get some manna. Because when the sun comes up and starts getting hot, it's going to melt like frost. It's going to be gone. And you're going to be hungry about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And you're not going to have anything to eat because you didn't get up early enough to get some manna. That's what he's telling us here. The mercies of God are new every morning. Don't wait till you go to bed at night. It's all right to pray before you go to bed. Nothing against that. But meet God in the morning. God likes to stir around early, I think. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, this is a promise of God. He promised to give us a new heart and a new spirit. A new heart, a new spirit. And that actually happens when we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That new creature has that new heart and has that new spirit. All things become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, what happens? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3, tells us that after God brings us up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, he sets our feet upon a rock. He establishes our goings. And listen to this. He puts a new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Even a new song. And Jesus, John chapter 13, verse 34. He remembers Moses on top of Mount Sinai. He remembers 10 commandments written by the finger of God on two tables of stone, backside and front side. And he says, 10's not enough. Let's put another one in there. And Jesus gives us that new commandment. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Isn't that wonderful? I wonder what the Supreme Court would say if somebody went and made a plaque that says that and put it up in a courthouse somewhere in the United States. You can't put the Ten Commandments up. The Supreme Court's already overruled that. But I wonder if they'd let you put that one single commandment up that Jesus said, I'm going to give you a new one. That you love one another as I have loved you. Wouldn't you like to walk into a courthouse and see something like that? And our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. New things? Yeah, a new law, New Testament, new this, that, and the other, new heart, new man, new spirit. That's 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6. Then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, Jesus uses the Apostle Paul to tell us that the barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles has been broken down, and we are coming together in the church as one new man. One new man. And then he admonishes us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. He says, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Here's the new man, put on the new man. And speaking of that new man, Paul writes to the saints in the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we've even got a new man here, and we're to put on this new man. Most of this has to do with living. Now let's look at dying, because death is a new experience for us. Do you ever think of this, comparing the Old Testament and the New Testament, how that the Old Testament is full, chock full of death and dying, isn't it? I mean, from the very beginning of Genesis over there. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam and Eve broke God's commandments, and they died spiritually. But not too much is said in the Old Testament about resurrection, is it? You remember some outstanding verses in the Old Testament that talk about resurrection? There are not too many of them. There are some, but not too many. Not nearly as many as there are in the New Testament. Well, he talks about, as in Adam all sin or all die, he says, death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. It's appointed unto man once to die. Whew. Then you get out of Malachi and Matthew, and you begin to read in the New Testament. Some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Then God will give it a body as it pleases him. It'll be a glorious body, a powerful body, a celestial body, raised in incorruption. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. It'll be a new body. It'll still be in the image and likeness and that likeness of God. But how different from now. We shall not all sleep, not the sleep of death, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. This is New Testament I'm reading. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. Day before yesterday, I was out there at the cemetery again visiting with Rita. And I like to go out there and be in the presence of death. A defeated foe. And I like to think about the sounding of a trumpet. And I think one of the reasons I like to be out there is, oh, wouldn't this be fun, you know, to be standing there by Rita's grave. And all of a sudden, instead of those jet planes flying over out there, they would be overcome by the sound of a trumpet. Ta-do, ta-do. And those graves would start popping open, and there I'm standing in the midst of them there, And I had to wait till they go to do again before I could go up because it's the second trumpet, you know. And but yet, Rita said before she died, she says, "I'll be waiting for you." And if she comes up and I'm there, I know what she's going to do. She's going to dawdle around until that sound comes a second time, and then we'll join hands and we'll go up to meet the Lord in the air. That'd be wonderful, I'll tell you. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Tells us about sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then Peter comes along, and he reveals to us that there's going to come new heavens and a new earth. He says, the present heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. But we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And he tells us that righteousness shall cover this new earth as the waters cover the sea. Think about that next time you go down to the beach and look westward over toward the Orient. Righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And then, that's not all that's new. There will be a new city. Let me give you these without too much comment as I go through. Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Revelation 21:22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The Lamb of God is Jesus. And God the Father, God and the Lamb are the temple of it. He that overcometh, that's people, will I make a pillar. You know what pillars are. You've seen pictures of those big old white columns that reach all the way to the top. They're there more for beauty than they are for strength. But if we are the overcomers, he's going to take you and make a pillar out of you in the temple, and the temple is God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And I can't think of anybody, just let's use an illustration here of Brother Mack. Now, he's about the only person that I can really think of here. The rest of us don't fit in, but he seems to fit. He's got a character about him that just fits this. God is going to take him and he's going to make him a marble pillar, not pillow. That's what you sleep with your head on. You're not going to be sleeping here. You are a pillar in the temple of God. And the temple is the Lord God Almighty and Jesus Christ the Lamb. Not going to do much running around. You're going to be like like the guy that guards the unknown soldier's grave up there in Washington, D.C. You're going to be a pillar. And you're going to stand there. But that's not all. There's some fringe benefits here. He shall go no more out. Don't even have to go out to eat. Somebody will bring you something to eat. Pillars don't eat much anyway. I will write upon... Oh, graffiti. I will write upon him the name of my God. Somebody's going to come along when nobody's looking and they're going to use some spray paint and they're going to spray you. And they're going to write on you the name of God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. You're going to have graffiti as far as they can reach up there on you, Brother Mac. I tell you, that's going to be, and you're just going to stand there, a pillar of strength in God the Father and God the Son, because they're the temple of it. Isaiah said, thou shalt be called by a new name. Wonder what that's going to be. Might as well forget that Mac stuff. It's going to not be around anymore. You're going to get a new name. I'll write on him my new name. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Here's something else. Remember, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Here's something else. To him that overcometh, that's how you got your job in the first place, you overcame. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. The hidden manna. Manna was what God fed the Israelites with for 40 years in the wilderness. They had it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they got tired of it and they complained. And Moses and Aaron got together one day and they got a golden container and they filled it up with, guess what, manna. And they put a lid on it And they took it into the tabernacle, and they put it in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, usually, if they went out and picked it up off the ground, and they kept it too long, it would breed worms and stink. Of course, if they got enough on Friday to last through Saturday, it would be all right. And here we've got some manna, hidden manna, that he's going to feed the overcoming pillar. And we'll give him a white stone. That's to pick your teeth with. Remember, you're a pillar. And in the stone, a new name written. I mean, we've got names just floating all over the place. A new name written which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Nobody will know what it is except you. You got a secret name. And then God says, behold, I make all things new. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I make all things new. Don't you just love the Word of God? Ooh, that is something to look forward to. Thank you for coming tonight. I knew this would turn out to be a good sermon whenever I started working on that. And I don't know about you, but I enjoyed it. I enjoy thinking about all these new things that are coming. Let's stand together, please, as we look to the Lord in prayer. Brother David, you were so nice tonight in the service by not interrupting and hollering out amen whenever you knew in your heart that you should. We'll let you pray for us tonight. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I have a sweet potato pie in there, but it's enough for everybody to get a little sliver.
And it's good for blood sugar.
Yeah, blood